Glad you're here tonight. It's been good. That music is great tonight. started a church 31 years ago in our home with 14 people, and now we're out on the Smackover Highway, amen. I live on the Smackover Highway. I live in a big A-frame house. It's like a big old teepee, amen. And but God's been real good to us. The church got 23 acres of property there. We got a Christian school and bus ministry. And I love the little bus kids, amen. Amen. They're a blessing. But we got lots of hooks in the water. And preaching the jail, and prisons, and all kinds of stuff. We got people going all over, amen. And had a guy come in the other day, and he wanted to say something. I didn't let him say nothing because he was Bishop somebody, and I didn't know. You'd never seen him before, and just come in. And he had one of our gospel tracks. He'd come from Cedar Hill, Texas. And he doesn't know where he got the track from, but somebody gave him one of our little gospels. Isn't that a blessing?
Yeah.
And after church, I was talking to him, and he said, Pastor, he was like 76 years old, and elderly black gentleman, and he said, Pastor, I've been a deacon for T.D. Gates, the old black preacher there, for 22 years. And I said, praise the Lord. He loved the Lord, amen. He asked me to pray for me. I said, sure. And he prayed for me. That was a blessing. I sure appreciate our people getting the Word of God out with the gospel tracts, amen. I see them in bathrooms all over town, and I'm at that age now where I frequent bathrooms, amen. So, anyway, if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to move around just a little bit. Pastor, thanks for the nice room, and the bottle of wine was great. I appreciate that. Coffee, and you didn't really give me I'm taking home my wife, amen. But I'm a teetotaler, amen, after that message the other night. But anyway, if you have your Bibles there, we're going to move around just a little bit, and then we'll get to where we're going to go, okay? But thank y'all for letting me come. It's been a great meeting. Hasn't the weather been unbelievable? I mean, if you look at the weather forecast, it's supposed to get hot tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, if it started muddy, got like 4.5 inches or something, it's kind of muddy a little bit and all that. But man, alive, it's been unbelievably cool, hasn't it?
Yes,
I mean, I thank God did that for this old fat boy, amen.
Yeah.
And that is a blessing, amen. And for those of you that are here tonight, I'm not normal, okay? You can check around and some of the others could tell you he's not normal, amen. But I want to show you all my milking muscle. There's my milking muscle. I'm going to be a dairy farmer. And I had 92 Holstein heifers. I was going to raise the kids out in the country, get away from all the drugs, and then we had a revival meeting, amen. At a revival meeting, at that revival meeting, an old timey evangelist by the name of Dr. Joe Boyd came, and man, he was a big old hoss, you know, and white headed. And old Dr. Boyd, he came down to my house back in those days, years ago. People in the family, families in the church would sign up and take the evangelist home to eat dinner with them, you know. And so he was over at our house, and my wife was frying up some fried chicken, amen. And man, she knows how to cut up that fried chicken and all that, but. You know, I'm so honored to have Dr. Boyd, with us and all of that. And so we've been living room. My wife was in the kitchen with my dad, and it was such a blessing. But she had the rolls in the oven, and the chicken was ready, and the macaroni and cheese, baked beans. I mean, y'all get hungry now.
Yeah.
God bless you. I see those hands. But anyway, so Dr. Boyd asked me, a tremendous athlete. Just he didn't chase the football, the big skin like he could. He was drafted number one. Out of Texas A&M, he was a hoss. I mean, just a big old dude, could play professional football. He was drafted by the Washington Redskins back in the day, but he didn't chase football. He went after God, became a great evangelist. But anyway, Dr. Boyd asked me, what's your name? And I said, it's J.D. I go by my initials. And he said, what's your given name? What do your initials stand for? And I said, Joe Dalton. I said, I was named after both my grandfathers. One's name was Joe, and the other's name was Dalton. And, he's up in years, he's in his 80s, and he said, he started calling me David. My name is Joe Dalton, and he started calling me David, so I just kind of roll with it, And we're talking, and he was saying David this and David that. And then finally he said this, he said, David, what are you going to do with your life? That's what he said, David, what are you going to do with your life? And I probably said, Dr. Boyd, let me show you my milking muscle, and I'm going to milk cows. And I had all these heifers, 92 Holstein heifers, and I'd gone to school, learned how to artificially inseminate cows, and plow bait cows, pregnancy check cows. And man, I always said, my daddy's a preacher, my brother's a preacher, somebody's got to make a living, amen. We had that revival meeting, and Dr. Boyd went on down the road, but somebody else started talking to me, and he knew my name. And he said, J.D., what are you going to do with your life? Why don't you go beyond what you want to do and what you want to be? Why don't you do something for me, something that would last forever? Well, then I had to decide, am I going to do what I want to do, or am I going to do what the Lord wants me to do? And you know, I went with the Lord, and I'm glad. And they're chasing cows across Texas. I'm chasing sinners across Arkansas. And I got a lot of job security, amen. I think I got a lot of job security over here in Missouri, too, amen. But anyway, what a blessing. I'm glad I listened to that still small voice of God. And to God be the glory, amen. Great things to do. And so we just thank the Lord for the opportunity to serve the Lord. But all that happened in a revival meeting. God got me, amen. He got me. And I'm so thankful that he did, amen. My older brother Bob, 5 years older than me, on Friday night, 51 years ago today, on Friday night, my brother Bob, we had sawdust on the ground under the tent in Texas, and it's hot there. But my brother, I'm telling you, he got saved by the grace of God. Old preacher man preached on the great white throne judgment of God. Amen. I'm glad my brother got in. Amen. My brother's one of the best Christians that I know. And I'm glad he's going to heaven, amen. He's a good man, and he's been our Christian school man all these years, and he prays for every kid, and he's been a Christian educator in his whole ministry, but he prays for every kid that ever went to school where he's principal of every day. He's got a phenomenal, he's got a prayer journal, and he prays for hundreds of preachers and everything. I'm always giving new preachers names, so if you want to get on his prayer journal, he'll give you your name, we'll get you in there, amen. Luke chapter number 13, we're just going to kind of look a couple places here real quick, and then we're going to get to where we're going, okay? And if you hang with me, we'll be all right here in just a little bit, okay? All right. Luke chapter number 13, and I need blue over here. And look down at verse number 6. The Bible says he spake also this parable, and the parable is an earthly story that conveys a heavenly meaning. And he said, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon. Notice that fruit there. Fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, that's a stop, look, and listen word. These 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? It's just taking up space. It's not fruitful anymore. Let's just cut it down and get it out of the way. Verse number 8, and he answered, he said unto him, Lord, let him alone this year also, watch this now, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Now, I have a message that I preach called Dig It and Dung It. We're not preaching that one tonight, but that's a good title, amen. Say that with me. Dig it and dung it. Yeah, say it again. Dig it and dung it, okay? Now, you know, I got farming background, so I remember when we used to grow hay at Coastal Bermuda down there in Texas, we would aerate the roots. We'd go through and kind of plow the roots up, you know, and we'd plant overseed it with vetch, you know, and vetch puts the nitrogen back in the soil, and it's kind of a science to all that stuff, but you know, the Bible says, break up your fallow ground. And it's time to seek the Lord. You know, a lot of times in our lives, we get crusted over, our hearts get hard, we get desensitized, are you listening to me, by the world. And man, we need revival. We need to go, preacher man, just drop the plow and just bust off down through there and break up that fallow ground. And to dig it, are you with me? We need to dig it and then dung it. Okay, so dung is a real interesting word. I know a lot about dung. If I say chicken dung, that's chicken manure. Donkey dung, donkey manure. Cow dung, cow manure. Y'all, can we move on? Y'all got that point? Not a stinky point, but anyway, it's got ammonia nitrate in it, and it fertilizes. It's like fertilizer, amen. We had a guy in the church years ago who came up with a bright idea. We're out in the country, you know. He said, Pastor, why don't we put a load of chicken dung on the churchyard? Oh my word, did you talk about the greenest grass in Arkansas? We had it, amen, for a time. And you didn't want to drop your bubble gum either, amen. we had to water it, but man, it got green and it stained, amen. We dug it and we dunged it, amen. And that is a blessing. But you know, again, we're talking about revival, and you know, we need God to kind of stir us up and fertilize us, amen, so that we as God's children, the whole premise of Christianity. He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. Amen? And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's our responsibility. We're the light of the world, and we're the salt of the earth. And if we lose our Savior, or we hide our light under a bushel, you know, what are we doing here? We're just taking up space. Y'all God has left you here, left me here for a purpose, and it's His purpose. He's got a good, acceptable, and a perfect will for all of our lives, okay? And we need to let Him think about us and dumb us. Amen. During these revival times. Now take your Bible very quickly and turn over to the book of Isaiah. Just again, another little illustration. I've got sermons on all these, but it's not where we're camping tonight. In Isaiah chapter number 5, and this is the parable, again, it's kind of the Old Testament parable of Jehovah's vineyard. And Isaiah chapter number 5, verse number 1, now will I sing to my well-beloved, Isaiah 5:1, a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. Now watch the wording here. My well-beloved hath a vineyard. Now look at this next little statement here. In a very fruitful hill. Not just a fruitful hill, but a very fruitful hill. In other words, God doesn't want us just to be satisfied or mediocre with our fruit. He wants us to be very fruitful as churches. Amen. Are you with me? I mean, listen, we order tracts. We order 10,000 tracts at a time. 10,000. The Bible Way to Heaven. Got a picture of my wife and I. We order 10. I mean, our people are tract distributing machines. I mean, they put them in truck stops. They put them everywhere. Amen. I'm proud of them. Amen. Amen. And I thank God for that. And, you know, that's just like the Word of God's a little bitty seed. And that's just like a seed. And we just need to get the seed out of the barn. Amen. Amen. And get it out in the field is the world. Okay. Now, look at it. It says, a very fruitful hill. And it's really like Jehovah thought of everything. It says, and he fixed it and gathered out the stones thereof, talking about his vineyard now, planted it with the choicest vine, built a tower in the midst of it, also made a wine press therein, and he looked, watch this now, that it should bring forth fruit, or bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Wow. That's not good, is it? And now in heavens of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. God, you know, God, Jehovah asked this question, what could I have been done more to my vineyard than I have not done in it? Hey, he's a wonderful caretaker, isn't he? Yeah. Isn't he good?
Yeah,
yeah, let's sing about it.
God is so good. Short pencil is better than a long memory. Amen.
Amen. I tell you, remember a lot more when you take notes. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. And John 15 in the Bible, what a great chapter. It's a fruit-bearing chapter. And when we move toward the Lord Jesus Christ, please listen to me, when we move toward the Lord, we're purged in order that we would produce more fruit. And if we move away from God and we backslide, we're punished in order to cause us to return to Him. So you just kind of got to figure which way you want to suffer. Well, I'd rather suffer bearing fruit than I would Him having to take me to the woodshed. And the Bible says the Lord chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. Okay, so if I want to get away from Him, He's gonna tan my hide. Amen. Are y'all with me on that? Okay. So I'd rather just, you know, if I'm gonna suffer, let Him prune the dead limbs off, let Him dig about me and dung me, so I can be fruitful. Are y'all with me? I mean, y'all look at me like, what did He just say? But anyway, God makes no mistakes, and I just want to suffer for the cause of Christ and let Him use me. Somebody said soul winning is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread.
Amen.
Well, I tell you, taste and see the Lord is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Taste and see is good, amen. And we need to be telling others, okay, about the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ is looking for fruit. He's looking for fruit. We're coming now to the end of the revival, okay? So if we're just here, and man, it's been a great meeting, and you know, Brother Martin told me last night, he said, well, you're 4 for 4. You know, you got one more in you, you know. And just talking about the sermon, the preaching. It's been good. It's been a good week in the life of your church. And visitors have come in and been blessed and been helped. And we come to church to get some help. Amen.
Amen.
But the problem with all that is, you know, if I got this little doll here, and I just set her right here in the front here. And we'll just let her sit there, and she's just looking real good. And, you know, here's the problem. You know, we all come into the house of God. And, you know, this little doll here, she's all dressed up and looks real pretty and everything. But the problem is she's so good, she doesn't do anything bad. She doesn't smoke, she doesn't drink, she doesn't cuss, she doesn't run around with the boys that do. I'm going to tell you, she's a good little girl. Are y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
She's so good, she doesn't do anything bad. But she's so bad that she doesn't do anything good. She never passes out a tract. She never opens her mouth up and tells anybody about Jesus. You know, that's where a lot of Christians are.
Yep.
Oh, you're not going to go out. I'm not going out tonight and getting drunk or getting high. I'm not doing none of that stuff. But how long has it been since you opened your big mouth for the Lord Jesus Christ to tell somebody what He did for you?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Hey, listen, He died for you. He suffered it all because He loved me. Amen. And I'm not going to hell no more. I'm not going to hell no more. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're not going to hell no more. And listen, hey, we're supposed to... And He said, Matthew 4:19, He said unto them, follow Me, and I will make you. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. And I just think the closer we get to God, the more of a burden and the more of a heart. And we're not just satisfied to sit soak and sour, amen, and enjoy the good things of God. Yeah, it's all good. But I don't care if you can't get out anymore and you're kind of limited on how much you can pray. You can pray for souls. There's so many things you can do, amen. And God could use you. You know, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And God could use your prayers to ignite some other people to get the gospel out to places where maybe you can't go. Amen. Preaching time now.
Amen.
Yeah, get your head up. It ain't time to pray.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, amen. I'm telling you, man, this is good. It's good stuff. Now, God wants available fruit. Man, I just want to look at John chapter 15, verse number 1. The Bible says here, I'm the true vine, Jesus said. I'm the true vine, and My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in Me, well, I'm glad I'm in Christ. I'm in the Beloved. In Me, that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So we have available fruit, but then we have added fruit. God wants more fruit. He wants us to do more than we're doing right now. Amen? Yes, and I say yes, Lord, yes. Do your will and do your way. I mean, He wants us to do more. And I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward, downward. Plant my feet on high ground.
Yes,
amen. What a blessing. Amen. What a blessing. Yes. And I'm just saying that, you know, we can get to where we're out here, but we're not doing nothing.
Yes. Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know exactly what I'm saying.
Yes.
And you know, we're in the world. We're you know, we know we're going to heaven and all that, but I'm telling you, we're rubbing elbows with people that are they're going to split hell wide open, and we might be their only opportunity.
Yeah.
Amen. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. Okay? So I'm trying to get you up off your blessed assurance and get you activated back on the fire tonight. Amen.
Yeah.
Revive us again. Amen. Yeah. That thy people may rejoice in thee. Amen. And so, every branch of me, you know, my wife and I, we have crepe myrtles in our yard. I don't know what a crepe myrtle is, but some kind of bush or whatever, but we prune those suckers back. Every year in February, we prune them. There's certain times we prune them. I mean, we cut them down. They're like way tall, and we just cut them down to the nubs. The little nubs are sticking out everywhere, and it's unbelievable the growth that comes after we cut them back. Year after year, we cut them back. And you were hurting them when we cut them back, but we're hurting them so that we can help them. Are y'all with me on that? So God's not mad at you. If you've got some dead limbs, you just need to let Him do surgery on you, cut them dead limbs off. Why? So you can start producing again.
Right.
You know, I'm glad that I've got so-winning stories from way back, but I'm glad I've got some so-winning stories from this year.
Amen.
I'm glad I got some so-winning stories from this year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Had the privilege personally. I'm not, you know, personally lead some people to the Lord this year. Yeah. Blessed, isn't it? Yeah, I want to be a soul winner for Jesus. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a blessing. Now, look at verse number 3. I like this one. Now, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Well, I'll tell you, thank God for the word of God. Just the preaching of the word of God, and then just that cleansing effect, and that wash water, amen. Wash me out, should be whiter than snow, amen. Thank God for the cleansing effect of the Bible. Amen. It doesn't need to be rewritten. It just needs to be preached. Amen. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Amen. I just try to preach the Bible. Be faithful to the Word of God. Verse number 4. Abide in me, Jesus said, and I in you, as the branch cannot
bear fruit of itself,
except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I like all these analogies. You know, I'm a country boy, but I like all these analogies in the Bible. You know, he said, I am the vine. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. You're not the vine. I'm the vine. You can't, you know, you're not the one producing the fruit. Some plant, some water, then God gives the increase. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
I like this. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I like that. So what does that mean? I'm a little red-haired sheep. Oh, yeah. He's the potter. Yeah, I'm the clay. I'm the Play-Doh. Amen.
Yeah.
And mold me and make me after Thy will. Are y'all with me? I like the analogies like that, you know, in the Bible and all of that. What a blessing that is. But I'm just saying, God wants us to be very fruitful. Okay, that washing of the water of the Word. I mean, that's what's going to help us to be clean, and we got to abide in Him because we can't bear fruit of ourselves. Verse number 5: I am the vine; you are the branches. I tell my grandbabies, I'm the boss; you're the baby. Oh, yeah, some of these little kids think they're the boss.
That's right.
No. You're not the boss. I'm the boss. You're the baby. They get up big enough and say, Papa, I'm not a baby. And I say, I'm the boss. You're the big boy or you're the big girl. You know what I mean? But I'm telling you, we're not going to let the insane asylum be run by the inmates. Amen.
That's right.
What's wrong with our country? And I'll tell you, it's really sad to see some of these little kids just out of control.
Yeah, right.
No control. I mean, if an 18-wheeler was coming, they'd just be plastered. They'd get killed. But they won't stop. I train my children like a dog. Sit. Stay. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I mean, I train them. Bob says train up a child in the way he should go.
Right.
Stop. Start. Do. Don't. You know, just simple commands. Because I love them. And I didn't want them to get hurt. Amen. And I, you know, we know that we're older. We got, you know, we're responsible for the little ones.
That's right. Yeah.
And I even get on to other people's children because I love them. I want them to do right.
Yeah.
And I'm not ugly about it, but just trying to help them. Amen.
Yeah.
I teach all these little boys in my church how to shake hands.
Yeah.
Shake hands. Give me some grip. And all our little boys, man, they'll put a squeeze on you. I tell them, boy, listen, we don't want those little funny boy handshakes.
Oh,
we don't want that little limp handshake. You know, that scares me. You know, but little boys, they got to be trained, don't they? I didn't know how to put toothpaste on my toothbrush till my mama taught me. And I squeeze it in the middle, man. Now I squeeze it from the end, amen. Learned a lot in my sojourn here on earth, amen. By the way, if you don't take a bath, you stink.
Yeah.
Amen. If you don't use soap, you stink.
Yeah.
And that's why, especially speaking, we've got to have that washing of the Word.
Yeah.
He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth in his town much fruit. So we got available fruit, then we got added fruit, that's more fruit. Then we got abundant fruit, okay? Abundant fruit, that's much fruit, okay? That's what God's looking for. A very fruitful hill. He wants much fruit. And verse 5 says, for without me you can do nothing. Well, that takes care of all the pride, doesn't it? God says, for without me you can do nothing. You say, well, I got it. No, you ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing, man. I'm telling you. That pride, man, it'll mess you up. It'll mess you up. Now look at your Bible, and verse number 6 says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch that is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned, okay? And again, it's not talking about salvation, it's talking about fruit bearing. Fruit bearing. You're not bearing fruit and going home to be with the Lord early because you're of no value down here on earth as a child of God. Now here's my little outline. You got to get this one down. If you write notes, this is a good one, okay? Number one, give you six things here real quick. Number one is the Christ-centered life. The Christ-centered life. Say that with me. The Christ-centered life. Look at verse number 7. Jesus said, if ye abide in me, if ye abide in me. That's the Christ-centered life, okay? Listen, that in all things he might have the preeminence, okay?
Amen.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. And I just want to seek him first, okay? Are y'all with me? Seek God first, okay? The Christ-centered life. You get around people, a lot of people, their life is not centered on Christ. He may be a part of their life, but he's not, you know, I want him on the front burner, if you know what I'm saying. I don't want him on the back burner, on the back 40 or something like that. No, I want him to be preeminent, the Christ-centered life. Number two is the Bible-anchored life. The Bible-anchored life. Look at the second part there, verse number 7. He said, if you abide in me, and then he said, and my words abide in you. And my words abide in you. Now, man, we don't need less Bible, we need more Bible. Are you with me?
Amen.
We need more of the Word of God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I'm just telling you, man, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Hey, I'm just saying, I need more and more of God's Word in my mind and in my heart and in my life. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Aren't you glad when I was a little boy, this stuff was full of memory verses?
Yeah.
Memory work was really big in those days. And man, I thank God for every little Bible verse, every big Bible verse. John 11:35, amen, Jesus wept. That's a great Bible verse. I'm glad our Savior had compassion on the multitudes, amen.
Yeah.
And what a blessing. Thank God for that. But I'm saying, hey, I want to have the Christ-centered life, but I want to have the Bible-anchored life. Brother Roloff used to say, no Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. Say that with me. No Bible, no breakfast. Say it again. No Bible, no breakfast. Hey, listen, we don't have time to wait till noon or try to squeeze our... No, we need to start the day in the Bible. Amen. We need to get it in our mind and in our hearts early in the morning. It'll help you. I promise you, it'll help you. It has a cleansing agency and a cleansing effect. You don't even realize all that it's doing for you. I play mine sometimes at nighttime, some trying to mess with me. I play it and listen to it subconsciously while I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
Just let the Word of God, just, you know how people play music, stuff like that. I just let the Bible play.
Amen.
Little Alexander Scorby teach me how to say all them hard words. I don't know how to say how to enunciate them. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Now look here. So that's the Bible, the Christ-centered life, the Bible. Number three is the prayer-supported life. The prayer-supported life. Look at this now. In verse number 7, he said, "You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Isn't that a blessing? How many of y'all like his prayers answered? Well, I'll tell you. You know, my wife called me this morning, and she was crying. And she's got some problems going on. I want y'all to pray for her right now. Her name is Deanna. And she had surgery on her hand last week. And her hand, she goes back to the doctor this next Wednesday. But her hand is all wrapped up. And they went in and took out a bone. And they're letting the scar tissue kind of heal over. It's bone on bone. But her hand was throbbing. And she got some kind of deal in her mouth. And they think it might be some kind of autoimmune disease. And they tried to do all kinds of things for her. And it'll go away for a little while. And then it'll come back like with a vengeance. And today... You know, she would just call me, and she was upset, crying, and her hand was hurt, and her mouth was hurt. You know, I said, honey, I'm praying for you. I love my wife. Amen? And she knows, boy, she knows that we pray for each other. Are you listening to me? We pray for each other. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. She's hurt me, not hurt because she's hurt me, amen. But I took it this way, amen. I took it to the great physician. And, you know, I'm here in Missouri, and I'm going home in the morning. But I'm just telling you that, you know, I didn't like her to be crying and all that. You know, she's been doing fine all week. It just kind of came back on her pretty strong, you know, real strong. And she's been calling the doctor, they've been calling her back and all that stuff. You know how that goes. But anyway, I'm just saying to you, the prayer supported life. Somebody go get God, amen. And I'm so thankful for people that are prayer warriors. How many of y'all know somebody like that in your life that when you got a problem that's pretty serious, you kind of want to make sure they know about it? How many of y'all know about that? Yeah. We all have people in our lives like that that we look to because we know they're effectual, fervent prayers. And they're not carnal Christians and all that, but they get their prayers answered. That's who you want praying for you when it's crunch time. The prayer support life. Number four is the fruit-bearing life. Look down at verse number 8. This is really good, y'all, right here. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified. Who would you rather glorify than our Father, which art in heaven? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be. And there's nobody that I'd rather glorify than God. How do we glorify Him? By bearing fruit. Please bring your friends to Jesus, and then they'll always call you friend. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Number five, again, we can spend more time, number five is the love-motivated life. The love-motivated life. This whole passage here, you start reading it here, and it's saturated in love, okay? It's saturated in love. Look at verses 9 and 10. And Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And look what he says here. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus is our example, isn't he? He's our example. Now look down in verse number 12. This is my commandment, not suggestion. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if, that's conditional, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I call you friends. My mama's favorite song was, what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. What a blessing. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I make known unto you. Verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth what? Fruit. Watch this now. And that your fruit should what?
Remain.
Wow. So we have available fruit, we have added fruit, which is more fruit, we have abundant fruit, which is much fruit, and then we have abiding fruit, and that's remaining fruit. Ain't that a blessing? What a blessing. And it says that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. I thought, didn't he already say that? Yeah, he's just saying it again for emphasis' sake. Because we're kind of slow sometimes. We don't pick up on it sometimes the first time. So he says things over and over. He just, you know, and he's God. And he knows what we need. Wow. Number six, this is the last one. So we got number one, the Christ-centered life. Number two, the Bible-anchored life. Number three, the prayer-supported life. Number four, the fruit-bearing life. Number five, the love-motivated life. Number six is the joy-filled life. Wow, I like this one. The joy-filled life. Look at your Bible now in verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Wow. What a blessing. What a blessing. That your joy might be full. Man, I'll tell you, I love serving Jesus, y'all. I really do. I love serving the Lord. Isn't it a blessing just to serve Him? Yeah, no, it's not something I have to do. It's something I get to do. I love serving Jesus. Amen. I surely do. Amen. All right. Well, that's a good little outline, isn't it? I like that. Brother Pringle, that's a good one, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the joy-filled life. Wow. Man, I just found so thankful, so grateful. But you know, Jesus said, I must needs be about my Father's business. My Father's business. Now, again, we don't mean for it to happen, but I have a little illustration here, this orange juice and ginger ale. But it's got the pulp in the bottom. And you know, it talks about people within Bible days, they would settle on their leaves. You remember that? And that means that when the great juices would kind of go down to the bottom, and it would get harsh to the stomach, it would thicken in the bottom, and it would get harsh to the taste, it would coagulate, it would become bitter. And so what had to happen, it had to be shaken up. Had to be shaken up. Are y'all with me?
Yeah,
had to be shaken up. Can you help me, Brother Thomas? Yeah, had to be shaken up. Now, the happiest days in our life, the happiest days in our life is when we have an old-timey, heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival. And God kind of digs about our hearts and He knows us. We can't even explain all that the Holy Spirit's doing. But it's kind of like He takes us and He just kind of shakes us up. And He gets all that old harsh stuff that's down there in the bottom. It's coagulated and gotten thick and harsh to the taste. And He shakes it all up. He shakes it all up. The happiest days of your life. Whoa.
There you go.
The sinner. Almost got in here, preacher.
Yeah.
Lord did it again. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That's the evidence for letting it out, bro.
Yeah, amen. That's what needs to be happening to us. Amen. Watch this. The happiest days is when God shakes us up. But it's not just about shaking us up and then letting it all go back down to the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
It's when God pours us out.
Yeah.
Are you with me on that? In other words, He shakes us up and then He pours us out to be a blessing to somebody else. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if we sit here like a bump on log and, you know, like this little doll, we're not doing anything bad. Oh yeah, we're good little Christians, but we're not doing anything good.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't want to finish like that, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank you, Brother Thomas. I don't know if you just have that. a man came to my daddy's church. I told you I do a lot of missions conferences, but a man came to my daddy's church and came to our church and came one time to my daddy's church, one time, and brought his little three-year-old boy. Brought his little three-year-old boy. And my dad preached the gospel that day. That man raised his hand for prayer for salvation. He didn't walk down the aisle or nothing, but my dad saw him, you know, and got a visitor's card on him. So the next week, my dad followed up, went down to a trailer park down the road from the church. And started talking to that man, and he led that man to the Lord on the tailgate of his pickup truck. That man got saved by the grace of God. And, you know, that man never came back to my daddy's church. His brother found out, and he lived over in Kennedale, Texas, outside of Fort Worth. And he said, hey, why don't you come on over to my church? And it was a good church. We knew that church and all. And so his brother went over to go to church with his brother. Well, time went on, and man, they just grew and loved the Lord and all that. And they went down to Mansfield, Texas. And I think Brother Monty Henson was the preacher way back in those days. And Brother Claude Sutton's the preacher there now. But that little boy that was 3 years old, he grew up and he got saved when he was 17 years old. 17 years old. And God called that boy to preach. He went to Bible college and became a missionary to Croatia. His name is Johnny Leslie. I was preaching a missions conference in Council Bluff, Iowa, and Johnny Leslie was one of the missionaries. Johnny Leslie's daughter was 13 years old. This was several years ago, but she just got married recently. But Johnny Leslie's daughter wrote me a letter and said, "Dear Brother Guido, if your dad had not led my papa to the Lord, our whole family might have died and went to hell." And I took that home. My dad was still living then. He was in his 80s, and I showed him that letter. My dad just wept.
Yes, sir.
As Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story is this. Johnny Leslie spent the next 18 years of his life as a missionary translating the Bible into the Croatian language. The Beans Bible Ministry, Gulfport, Mississippi, picked up the project and printed the first 5,000 Beans Bibles. Now, the Word of God is going all over Croatia.
Amen.
It all started with my dad. I'm just saying, I don't know who you might give a tract to. You don't know that.
Amen.
You don't know what God might do. Some of you are getting older and you think, well, I don't even know why God left. He's left you here for a reason.
Amen.
Yeah, there may be somebody out here that nobody else could reach or nobody else has the guts to pass the, you know, to pass the tract out. Dr. Carl Hatch, he is an old evangelist. He'd go in the airports and stuff, and every stall he saw a pair of feet at, he'd go through there and he'd put a track on the floor and said, read this while you wait. Read this while you wait. And that's real proof. I wonder how many people will be in heaven because he did that. You might be surprised. I'm just telling y'all, we got to get out of our little whatever. We got to get up, y'all. We got to get going. Are y'all with me? We got to let God revive us again. Amen. I'm talking that to me. I was preaching up in California a few years ago. And a missionary invited me to come to Mexico City. His name is Kevin Wynn. He's got a ginormous ministry over there. And he said, Brother Lito, do you preach outside? I said, yeah. I said, why don't you take out a week and come over to my place? And, you know, it's a ginormous, one of the biggest missionary ministries in the world of our stripe. You know, it's been a bad thing that I know of. Well, anyway, the Sunday before I was there, they had like 16,000. This thing is ginormous. They got 7,000 seat auditorium. And so the first time I went there, they had like 230 in their Bible class. Well, you know, I don't even speak good English, you know, and I'm speaking like for 4 hours with an interpreter. Okay, and that's really challenging, you know, to go that long and that, you know, and all that. But I knew that Kevin Wynn and his family were personal soul winners.
Yes, sir.
Y'all listen to me, they were personal soul winners. So I, the Holy Spirit of God kind of took me. He took me and kind of my grandpa. Can I get a couple of guys? Somebody help me with an illustration. Yeah, can you come help me? Is there one more that could help me? Could you help me? Yeah. Yeah. Can I borrow your belt? You guys could just kind of kneel down facing that way. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Go down on all fours. Put your hand on the ground. Yeah, you're going to be on the So now, don't miss this illustration, okay? My grandparents were sharecroppers, and they grew up around farming back in the old days in Central Texas, in town called Buck Oak, and they lived out the country from there. But my grandfather plowed with mules, okay? He plowed with mules. And, what would happen is one mule would kind of begin to lag back a little bit, okay? And kind of like he's lagging back a little bit, okay? And then, he's surging forward a little bit. He's a quick learner. So now this mule over here is lagging. So what that meant, this mule over here was pulling the whole load.
Yes, sir.
The terminology on the farm for this mule that wasn't pulling his load, it was called he was floating in the harness. He was floating in the harness. He was in the harness. But he wasn't pulling. He was floating in the harness. So my grandfather would take the leather lines and he would pop that mule on the rump. And then that mule would surge. And then they'd catch up. And you see what I'm saying? Well, if we're not careful, everybody look at me now. The illustration is this. If we're not careful, we can be in the harness, but we can kind of be floating in the harness.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I'm just telling you, that year when that missionary invited me to come, I was busy and going here and there and all that stuff, but I think I was floating in a harness a little bit. The Holy Spirit kind of took the leather lines and gave me a pop. And I just kind of, spiritually speaking, and I just kind of surged a little bit in the area of my soul when it passed out. And listen to me, please listen to me. I can't even explain what God did. I mean, people just started getting saved all around me. And it's just because I just surged a little bit. And God started moving. Are you listening to me? God started. And unbelievable. And I just think, you know, wow, what God could do with this group right here if we just surged a little bit and just see what God would do.
Yeah.
That's what revival time is all about. Thank you, guys. Sometimes I pop them a lot harder if I know them, but I don't know. I know, man. Everybody's wanting to call the hotline numbers. Hey, listen to me. Where are you at tonight? I'm just asking. Where are you at in this equation? Man, I need God to shake me up and pour me out. I want my life. I want my life to come for Jesus. You know, you. I really do. I love y'all. I thank you for letting me come. But look how my eyes us again.
Amen.
Let God keep
rejoice
in that. Amen. I'd like for him to come back and be surgeon. Wouldn't that be a good? Man, I hate for him to come back and catch me just kind of messing around, you know. You're a little rascal. You do better than that. You know, I'd rather come back and maybe get on all cylinders. Amen. Let's bow our heads. We'll have a hand where come something soft for us. God bless you. Well, thank y'all again for letting me come. And I know we kind of went into overtime and all that stuff. It's all right for the Bible time Friday night. And hey, if you're here tonight and you're lost, you say, Preacher, I've never been saved the Bible way. You know, tonight would be a good night to come and have someone take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved tonight. And I'm always thinking about revival. I want lost people to be saved, but I want Christians to get revived, because long after I go back to Arkansas, those tracks, and boy, pray over those tracks. Please pray over those tracks. God, we bless this track. Bless this track. I gave a guy a track at the motel. The pastor was asking me about it. He was sitting out there on the parking lot. He gave me a track. I think he was from some other country over in Africa or something. I don't know where he's from. He couldn't hardly speak, but he said he'd give it to his son. He couldn't speak good English. But I say, hey, he's got the Bible way ahead on the back there. You know, I just want to pass out tracts everywhere I go. You just never know. You never know how far reaching. I mean, you say, Preacher, would you pray for me? I used to pass out a lot of tracts, and I've kind of gotten lax. I've kind of been floating in the harvest in some areas in my life. Preacher, would you pray for me? Put me in a Christian all over the building. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I pray, God, just revive us again in the midst of the years. Well, I pray in wrath, you remember mercy. A little space of grace, amen. He sure had a little mercy on us this week with the weather, amen. He's just a good God. I'm telling you, he's a good God. There are people out here that he died for. We can make a difference. You can make a difference. How many say, Richard, I got somebody in my family I love a lot, and they're away from God. Would you pray with me for them? Put your hand up right there. Son, a daughter, a grandchild, a friend, somebody you love a lot, they're away from God. Father, we love you today. God, we thank you for these times around the Word of God. Lord, we understand, Lord, that you really do want it to be a fruitful hill, Lord. Thank you for the church, Lord, the pastor, other pastors and churches that are represented here tonight. And Lord, I pray that you just set our souls on fire. Lord, help us, Lord, to get out our Father's business in these last days. Lord, help us not to float in the harness. Help us not to be lukewarm and half-baked. And Lord, help us not to be unfruitful, Lord. God, please help us, Lord. Help us now. Revive us again. And we give you glory for what you're doing in our hearts tonight. And only eternity will reveal the results of this meeting, Lord. And I thank you for my dear old daddy who's in heaven with all them Bibles going all over Croatia, because he led a man to the Lord and had a little 3-year-old boy that grew up and become a great missionary. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for those handfuls of purpose you give us along the way. I know our labor is not in vain in the Lord. You bless now the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. You pray. You pray in your seat. Come to the altar. Whatever you feel led to do, God bless you. Don't wait on anybody else. I don't mean to be praying in your seat. Whatever you feel led to do, God bless you.